You're listening to the Wilberforce Initiative podcast, episode 2. I'm your host, Curtis Winkle, here. On the pod today, we've got two men who have been very involved and influential in the adoption movement in Oklahoma City, teaching, mentoring, sitting on panels, working in crisis pregnancy centers for over a decade. And so between the two of them, they have 14 adopted children, and they also happen to be pastors at my home church, Trinity Baptist in Norman, where we have a great culture of adoption. We've got over 60 children who've been adopted by families in our church. So I'm going to ask these gentlemen about the biblical case for adoption, the father's role in particular, what that should be in the adoption process, and then finally, just what's their advice for churches who are looking to build this culture into their home church. All right, here with Ryan Polk and Randy Presley. Ryan is the associate pastor at Trinity Baptist Norman, and Randy, the worship pastor here. And just to start off, guys, I want to get a comparison here. Ryan, how many children do you have? How many adopted children?
4 children, 4 adopted children.
All right, and Randy?
I have 12 children and 10 adopted children.
All right, so Randy wins the gold medal. Okay, first, Ryan, just to get us started, can you talk about just maybe the biblical basis for adoption? Just kind of sketch that out for us.
Well, I mean, the Bible seems to be from the beginning talking about, you know, the Old Testament law had provision for taking care of the orphans and for those who would be without a mother and a father. It's talked about again in the New Testament in James 1 and other places. Then you throw in just the biblical teaching on those who have needs and ministering when you can. But I think the biggest mandate probably is even how God relates it to us and our salvation, you know, by using the term adoption. And so it actually, you know, earthly adoption becomes a real picture of exactly what happens to us when we come to faith in Christ and he becomes our father and all that. So I think it's throughout the scripture, and we see it that God even intertwines it in the doctrine of salvation.
Yeah. All right, great. Now, how about you guys? Randy, when did you kind of first consider adoption as an option for you and Kathy?
My wife, Kathy, worked in a crisis pregnancy center to help women who were in a crisis pregnancy, to counsel them. And one of the things they would counsel them was to consider if they couldn't parent the child they were carrying, that they would consider adoption, of course, over abortion. Well, as we talked through that, we felt like, you know, we needed to be open to providing an option if that ever came up, the option of adoption, so we would be open to adoption. And so through that, and it's a, you know, it would be a long story to get into all the details, but through that, we adopted our first little baby girl.
Yeah, terrific. So it seems to be kind of a growing topic in evangelical circles, and it's great to see a lot of churches seem to get on board with this idea. Still a lot of need, obviously, and so why do you guys think, I know, you know, Russ Moore wrote a book 10 years ago, Adopted for Life, that I think was very influential, but is it just kind of an outworking of the pro-life movement? You think that's been an experience of a lot of people?
So, you know, I think a lot of it is how we, you know, viewing children as a gift from God, and then like Ryan mentioned earlier, the whole narrative of the Bible, how God adopts us as his children through salvation. It's a beautiful picture of what God does spiritually for us, and so I think all of those things, people just beginning to or learning of those things has led to a more of an interest. And
yeah, I think that's right. And I think societally, like, it's just kind of come out of the shadows, even whether it's Christian agencies or secular or whatever, you're hearing a lot more about foster care and stuff like that right now. And those systems are breaking. You know, they're not working. So the needs, you know, even in the media and the news. Infertility's come out of the shadows a lot. You know, Christian couples who couldn't have children, that used to kind of be a stigma or a shame. Well, that's talked about a lot more. And so adoption kind of gets more attention that way, and which I think are all good things.
Right. Thanks. Yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's get a little more practical now. So, Randy, you've been doing this for, what, over a decade now. Can you tell us a little bit about the typical process, if there is a typical process for you?
I mean, I would just say, you know, the first step is just being open, and then in our instances of adopting these children, they just have kind of come along. We've heard about the need. Like I said, the first one was my wife was working in a crisis pregnancy center, and she saw the need, and then we were open to it, and then God just kind of put that together. But as far as the process of you know, adopting, there's a lot of paperwork. You know, there's a lot of legal things you have to do, and there are agencies that help with that. One, you know, I think of Deaconess, and we worked with Dillon International. We've done some international adoptions, so those kinds of people can walk you through the process as far as the legal end of it. And
the typical adoption is that it's probably atypical.
Yeah.
For everyone. I mean, every situation's different, and I think that, you know, the hardest part for me in working through some of these things, and then I know especially for my family, was that, you know, adoption, they don't happen because everything's going well. You know, there's always some circumstances. You know, a couple generally isn't, for whatever reason, able to have children. A birth mom gets pregnant unplanned in a bad situation. So, you know, adoption comes, you know, it's really a picture of God bringing good out of out of bad, but the bad's still there. And so because of that, I mean, they are atypical, and they come with a lot of that, those types of issues.
I think you have to be willing, you know, to do what it takes to work through. Like Ryan's saying, they're not cut and dried, and there are things you have to work through. But you have to remember, for me, I have to remember that we're talking about, you know, an eternal soul here, this child that needs a home, and is made in the image of God, and is a gift from God.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about the father's role in particular? You know, sometimes this can be seen as, well, you know, my wife wants to adopt, and kind of relegated in some ways to the mom, because, you know, she's going to play the most nurturing, you know, role in the first few years of a kid's life. So how about fathers in particular? How do you view the father's role in the adoption?
Really fulfills a lot of what the whole biblical manhood thing is: rescue, provision, protection, doing hard things, stepping in to meet a need. I mean, when you think about, you know, there's thousands of children in foster care. I saw a stat the other day that it's basically, if just one out of three churches in America would adopt one foster child, it would empty the system. So one out of three churches, just someone in one out of three churches. So I think, you know, that men, I think it's a harder thing for men to embrace. But that may be because we haven't done a very good job of teaching that this is really fulfilling part of what God says to be a man.
I agree totally with what Ryan is saying. I think men need to step up. And my wife was the one who was on the front line in the crisis pregnancy center when we began adopting. And, you know, and came to me and said, what do you think about this? And, you know, and we'd already made up our mind that we were going to be open to that. So I said, well, yeah, let's pursue it. But she did most of the, like Ryan was talking about his wife, she did most of the paperwork and working the process that way. I was always supportive. But as we processed through and adopted more, there were times, especially with our last adoption, a little boy from Haiti, and I had to go to Haiti right after the earthquake to get him. I was much more involved even in the paperwork part of that, because part of it was Kathy, my wife, had done so much of that with the other adoptions. It was kind of like she was almost burnt out with the paperwork that we had to do. So I took that on, and that was eye-opening for me. I wish I would have been more involved even with the earlier ones in that, in even the technical part of doing all the paperwork, and it that taught me a lot. But I just agree with Ryan that we're to be the, you know, the man is to be the spiritual leader in his home, and so that ought to be in the area of adoption too. We ought to be not just open, but looking at how to do it and how to get it done, and the theme of the Bible, God coming and rescuing us, and we have an opportunity to rescue some of these children, and we ought to be active in doing that. I can't think of a greater thing to be involved in, but and it's not, doesn't mean it's easy, it's very hard, but you know, helping save an individual from a life without parents, and to give him and her a chance, and to share the gospel, and all those things that would be involved in family, and adoption is just a beautiful picture of, again, what God does for us.
You know, we tend to kind of compartmentalize these things. So adoption is just this isolated deal, like, well, I bring another child into my home. But it's really connected to all and woven into all these other things. And so, you know, if you're going to vote pro-life to make abortion illegal, well, then there's going to be children, right? So what role will you play? If you're going to say that human trafficking is evil and needs to be stopped, well, there's going to be children. So who's going to take them in? And, you know, one of the things that we've noticed is that in the movement itself, the pro-life movement, it's really women have been incredibly faithful to meet those needs. And crisis pregnancy centers are almost exclusively led and volunteered by women. Most adoption agencies are almost completely run and, you know, by women. So the other day, Randy and I were at a meeting and talking to an adoption agency, and they just shared one of their big things is it's just getting increasingly unsafe for them. They're getting called to these places like apartment buildings and things like this where they're pretty sure it's human trafficking going on and there's a child present. Well, that's just really unsafe. You know, we wouldn't send our wives there. So, you know, when we talk about men being involved in adoption, it's kind of like missions or other things. The question may not be, how many children am I going to bring into my home? Although that may be a legitimate question. But every Christian ought to be asking, what role can I play in adoption? And one of them may be, I volunteer at the adoption agency to help these ladies, you know, provide safety to them as they're providing, you know, all this. So I think that's another way that we haven't done a good job as Christians, as churches, of saying there's lots of ways. You know, we do that with missions like we did for church. Like, you can give, you can pray, you can do all this other stuff, and we give very specific things to be involved, even if you're not going. Well, adoption really needs that same.
That's right.
That same blueprint, almost.
Yeah, but let's talk about that for a minute. Say you're a church leader, pastor who has kind of caught the vision and been learning more about this and wants to encourage his church to do that. What are some of the ways that he could do that? What have you guys done?
Well, here in our church, there's a large population of adopted children, adoptive families, and. I think a lot of that is by example. I'm one of the elders, and we had adopted before we came here, and we've adopted since we've been here. And so it's visible. I mean, you see it, and people see it in a family, and then others say, well, hey, that's something that is a viable thing we ought to be looking into. And so it just leads to that. I think that's a lot of it. So... I think as you preach the Word of God and teach it, it's clearly there, you know, like Ryan mentioned in the very beginning, caring for the stranger, for the alien, for the orphan and the widow. Those are all things that the Bible is very clear we're to be about. So as you teach it and then begin to practice it, I think it just naturally grows in the hearts of people. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. I think... And that's why I'm grateful for Randy. If it's not happening somewhere at the top, it'll never catch on in your church, probably, regardless of how much you talk about it. And I think it's got to be one of those things that's not just talked about. I mean, that's something churches are notoriously good at, but we got to get good at practicing it. We've set up a fund to help people with that. And that's a way, you know, it's another just very specific way for couples who say, I don't think we're supposed to adopt. Well, they could give every month to that fund to help. Because, you know, the recent statistics are going to say that adoptions cost anywhere from like $2,500 to $40,000, depending on the circumstances of the adoption. Well, very few families have $40,000 sitting around. And so the church can do that together. So that fund has been a huge blessing to myself and to others. So I think, you know, awareness, you know, you kind of want to create a constant uncomfortability. I mean, for a while we were running statistics and running profiles of kids in foster care. And then our people need to see that, you know, that this isn't like an Africa problem or a Asia problem. This is an Oklahoma problem, that there's thousands of kids in foster care right now that need a mom and dad. And so you got to just do a lot of things to raise awareness, I think.
Oh, that's great. So to follow up on that a little bit, how can churches help serve those maybe who've gone through that process, maybe taken advantage of some of those funds and learned from that teaching and they've adopted someone? Are there any things churches could do to help serve those couples who have adopted once they're there?
It's not easy. It can be very difficult, especially when you get into adopting older children who've had a very difficult early part of their life and maybe have come out of that foster system. So having things like that, offering classes, offering affinity groups, where you have someone that you can talk about those things that you're going through and know that you're not alone in this thing. And when your kid's doing this, oh, we've faced that too. So, you know, just mentoring. So some of us that have done it longer can help some that are coming along. And just knowing that a church supports you in adopting, you know, that they see it as a good thing, right, and a noble thing and a God-honoring thing encourages people. And I think churches can do that.
So finally, just is there people who are interested in learning more, is there some resources we can point them towards?
Yeah, I think, you know, like if they're, depending on where they are in their kind of in their journey of doing that, you know, you mentioned Russ Moore's book, you know, Adopt for Life. That's probably the best combination of laying out the biblical basis just with very practical things. He's a father of adopted children, and he's really been an advocate for that. That's a great book. For those that are more serious about it, though, I mean, one of the organizations that Rand and I have both worked with is Deaconess Pregnancy and Adoption Services. I think they're one of the best here in Oklahoma City, but they work with couples from all over the country, and the quality of service they give not only to the adoptive parents but to the children, and then especially those birth moms is what's so good. You know that mom who chose life and went through this and then was made that difficult decision, she's going to be taken care of and ministered to. So that's another one. The ERLC website just has a lot of good resources on that as well. So those are ones that I'd recommend.
Okay, that's it for this edition of the Wilberforce Podcast. For more on this month's topic of adoption, you can check out our website, wilberforceinitiative.org. You can follow us on Twitter at WilberforceIN. And you can subscribe in iTunes. For Ryan Polk and Randy Presley, I'm Curtis Winkle. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.